one weekend I sent my husband alone to a show, a 3-day show, while I did a 1-day show and an hour and a half away.
That math doesn't math.
No.
I think he goes
great.
To the 3-day and she does the one.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And welcome back to the Riley Black Project, Crystal and John.
Hey.
We might look a little different.
Yeah.
And by a little different means the lighting's a little different.
Well, yeah, and then I know this isn't the first week without the white partition thing.
Yeah,
behind
I mentioned
you.
It last week.
Yeah, but
don't know where you were.
I like the. So. Shut up. I was saying because someone might have not noticed the first time, like me.
But back, white partition is gone.
Yeah.
And then
I like how it's
we
more
have
black.
a new light. We went from 3 to 1. One really nice big one. So.
Some upgrades. Those upgrades that patron members are helping us with. Speaking of.
If you're watching, you're not a patron, and you want to help upgrade the space.
When is this coming out? So this will still be before the end of March.
Yeah.
So if you haven't already, the big 50K celebration. God damn it.
Yeah,
we still haven't gotten that cake.
Still haven't gotten a cake.
We are a mess at celebrating, if you can't tell.
And we've been busy.
Right. We have been busy, which is a good problem.
Right.
So the 50K celebration, man, there's some sweet, sweet prizes in there.
Yeah.
Everyone pulled out like all the stops. So that was amazing. I think we're up to like 19 prizes, 20 prizes. I don't know. But yeah, some of them, I mean, the Next Level, conference, Emily gave a course. Heather gave a course. I'm giving a course.
I'm giving some reels.
Yeah. You're giving away some reels. Robin, Parker Marsh is giving $250. Mm-hmm. Jess, who we've had on the, replica,
Surfaces.
Right. Thank you. I wanted to say
session.
Studios. A free one-on-one photography session. So yeah, a lot of really good prizes. So if you haven't entered, do that.
How long do they got to enter?
So they need to enter before the end of March.
Okay.
It ends the last day of March at midnight Eastern, and you just need to go to the Instagram post and follow the directions or join Patreon. And if you join Patreon, you get 5 automatic entries, and you don't have to do a thing.
Patron, if you feel a type of way about just being entered and stuff, you can also follow along all the rules and post and do all
so,
that.
Some of them did to get more entries.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's right. More entries. Speaking of giveaways and stuff, we are sponsored today
by Katie with Monarch Fine.
Sure?
Yeah, I think so. she is giving our listeners 10% off with code Riley Black. You can find her on Etsy at monarchpine.etsy.com.
There we go. Now that we got the housekeeping out of the way. Yes, we are a little tired. We had a long more on that later with our life update.
In the life update.
Our guest today we're gonna see at the Next Level Laser
Conference.
Because she's going. Mm-hmm. Also in the Pittsburgh area. And transition from house cleaning. Welcome to the show, Allison with Black River Arts. How's it going?
You left out the part where she's a patron.
And a patron.
A newer patron.
It's because everyone's going to be a patron.
All the people?
Everyone's going to be a patron.
All the people.
Thank you so much for, one, agreeing last minute.
Yes.
And... two, for being a patron and supporting the podcast and now being a guest. So
thank you for having me. It's very surreal. I've spent a lot of time listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
So well, now when you listen to this one, you're on.
Yeah, right?
Don't skip this week's.
Yeah, right. So obviously in the intro we talked about how you were doing house cleaning. How did you transition from house cleaning to laser business? And like, have you always been creative?
I've always been creative. I've always enjoyed art. My grandmother taught me how to sew, and my mom always encouraged me to make homemade Christmas gifts for everybody in the family. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a graphic designer. He designed the Rolling Rock sign with the waterfall that's animated.
Okay.
Is one of the things he did. Nice. So, and then I was in 4-H and I did sewing. And I had a minor of art in high school. And then when I had my children, I sewed their costumes and made their birthday cakes.
Nice.
Then that went into scrapbooking, of course, with the Cricut.
Right. Of course.
And so my husband, I think it was in 2019, he said we should get a laser. Uh-huh. And he has always enjoyed technology. He had a 3D printer that he built from scratch.
Wow.
And so I said, I'm like, we don't need a laser. What are you talking about? What is that?
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, thousands of dollars at that time.
Right. Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know. We weren't in the right place for it.
Yeah.
So eventually we ended up, I ended up getting one, and we got a small K40 and started making some swag for a local coffee shop. So I guess basically if anything major happens, I'm like, it's your fault that right. You got me into this.
Right.
Welcome to the revolution in laser engraving. Introducing Lens Digital, the creators of the game-changing Pyburn rotary attachment. With the Pyburn 4.0, you can turn ordinary cups, tumblers, glasses, and more into extraordinary masterpieces.
Looking to engrave niche items or want the functionality of a Chuck rotary? Look no further than the Pyburn Grip, Lens Digital's Chuck-style rotary. With a range of different sized jaws, you can easily engrave a wide variety of items. All Lens Digital products are compatible with most CO2 and Galvo lasers and were designed specifically for the laser industry. All that, paired with the best-in-class customer support, Lens Digital is your one-stop shop for all of your rotary needs.
Transform your laser engraving game with Lens Digital, where makers succeed. Unleash your creativity today.
And don't forget, we are proud Lens Digital affiliates as well. If you're shopping, code RileyBlack will take $50 off any order of $600 or more.
Hey there, podcast listeners. How great would it feel if this was the year you finally got to escape your 9-to-5 to embrace your lifestyle of creativity and entrepreneurship?
Every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, Eon Laser USA invites you to join the Freedom to Create webinar, where you'll learn how to make this a reality.
Join leading laser industry professional and brand ambassador, Emily, a.k.a. That Mom with a Laser, and Eon Laser USA's sales manager, Alicia, as they dive into all things Eon.
Learn about the advantages of owning an Eon Laser and get the scoop on Eon's rewards and partner benefits. Plus, get a glimpse at how everyday people who started out with zero experience paid off their lasers, scaled their businesses, and transformed their lifestyles.
So if you're ready for a lifestyle change, head over to eonlaser.us/YUS and sign up for the Freedom to Create webinar today.
Thanks for listening. Laser on. So you had mentioned, I think just in us talking on Instagram or in the email, you had been listening to the podcast for a while, right? Like while you were house cleaning.
Right.
Were you kind of like in the research phase or?
So whenever he first got the laser, I was terrified of it. I thought, you know, I'm going to burn my eyes out if I look at the laser beam.
Right.
Or it's going to start a house fire. Like it's just, it was crazy. So anyway, so I started listening to the podcast while I was cleaning because I was, you know, I was curious. I had started playing around with the laser on my own. I think it was like fall of 2019. Mm-hmm. But I tried to make a door sign. And that's when we realized like that the laser bed was too small. So it was just anything I did with it was very rudimentary. And, I don't even know like how I found, it was a podcast at that time. Like, I don't know how I found it, but
yeah.
But you know, when you're house cleaning, I enjoy music, but I also thought, well, I was actually listening to house cleaning podcasts on how to grow my business.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, well, I could look for a laser podcast. And then I found yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a full list of clients, mm-hmm. But it was just, I knew that, I mean, I worked for myself. I owned the business. I enjoyed it. But I knew that I wanted to get more into the art again. Mm-hmm. It's just, things just work out sometimes that the way you don't expect.
Right. So were you doing the laser business like on the side, and then like it grew, and then you decided to stop with the house cleaning clients and switch like direct? How did the transition go, I guess?
Right. So I didn't do any craft shows in 2021. Like I started listening to your podcast, and then in 2022, I was asked to do a show that fall. Mm-hmm. And I reluctantly agreed to it. And so I just, you know, decided I wanted to step away from house cleaning to do something less physically demanding. Right. And I'm trying to remember. It's like I wrote all the dates down, and I'm like trying to remember if I was doing shows at the same time as house cleaning, but I didn't.
So what did you start making first? Like you said, your husband, did he make some stuff on the laser as well?
He made a few gifts, custom gifts for some theater students that that we knew of in our area that were friends of my son. And then, my son worked at the at a coffee shop, and we went there and said, hey, we can make you custom logo keychains with a QR code on it.
Nice.
So people can, you know, scan the QR code and then order online, order ahead. Mm-hmm. So, and then my first thing was, like I said, the door sign.
Oh, right, right.
I had gone to a craft show, and I had seen a sign that looked too good to be true. Like, it looked like, oh, it's from China, but they actually made them very well. So I made one also, and then gave one to somebody in the family.
It reminds me of those reels that are going around right now about, like, the things people say to you at a craft show. And like, so they like, people walk up and they're either like your items aren't their thing. And they're like, okay, that's weird. And they like walk away. But a lot of people walk up and they're like, I can make this. And so it's funny though that she saw,
someone that
does
that. Like, I said, I can make that. Like, I know we have a laser. I know we have a laser. It's laser engraved. That much I can figure out.
It's just funny that you went to a craft show, saw a door sign, and I don't know that you probably said it to them, but you're like, I can make this. And then she actually like went home and made it.
It's kind of a long story, but I silently admired all of her work and was watching, you know, where she was going and where she was doing shows, and I saw her a few times after that. And I'm actually attending as a vendor one of the shows, because she stepped away from doing shows and now she's a coordinator.
Nice.
And so now our paths are crossing again, and I'm a vendor at her shows that she organizes. But when I said, oh, I can make that, you know, and now my thing is like, oh, if someone comes to my booth and says, you know, I can make that, I'm thinking to myself, you do that. You know, you have fun with that, because if you want all this work, you want to do all this work, you go for it.
Well, the favorite part is the ones who don't know anything about laser engraving and ask if you made it with a Cricut. And it's like 3D, wood, acrylic, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, bro, I didn't make it with a Cricut. And it's like,
yeah, but they want it.
Yeah.
Right. They want to get to know you, and they want to connect with you. And they're like, oh, did you use your Cricut to cut that, you know, eighth inch? Like, no, I did not.
Right.
Or they go the other way. It's like, did you use a CNC, or do you hand carve everything?
So, I mean, on the topic of craft shows, is that kind of like your main business? And have you basically, by doing them, is it like something that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, so I have a retail management background also. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy, it's doing shows. I did 34 shows last year.
Holy crap.
For my first year, yeah. Wow. And in fact, one weekend I sent my husband alone to a show, a 3-day show, while I did a 1-day show and an hour and a half away.
That math doesn't math.
No.
No, I think he goes to the 3-day and she does the one.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't know about that.
That's dedication. He's very supportive.
Right.
So, yeah. So mainly I've done shows and I've dabbled in wholesale. I have two accounts wholesale, both nice. Coffee shops.
Nice.
Actually, that's not true. I did a, there's a state park nearby that had a privately owned store. Last summer, I made merchandise for them, for their store. So technically 3 accounts. And I'm hoping to grow that business, the wholesale side of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To try and step away from shows. And I thought I was on the right track until I counted how many shows I have this year. And it's about 30.
Wow.
So
I guess I like doing shows.
Right. So, I mean, with 30 shows and, like, you know, do the math, 52 weeks. I mean, you basically almost have a show. Is it like every weekend almost?
Every other weekend. Sometimes they were, you know, back to back weekends. Right. Or 2 places at once.
Right. So what have you learned from craft shows? Like I personally only did like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And each one I learned something else. And it's so funny to me because I should say 2 to 3 craft shows with my laser business. I did several craft shows, smaller, like high school kind of craft shows, with my mom when we were like, when I was younger. And we did like couple different like miscellaneous like crafts and stuff. Cause we've always been pretty crafty. But what's funny is I learned something each show, but I kind of learned like, I mean, they're a lot of freaking work for one. There's all the work that leads up to it. Then there's the packing of it. And then there's how your table looks and what to bring and how much of each thing to bring. And, you know, it's like the law of, you know, whatever. I bring 2 of these and I'm going to sell out of those instantly. Right. And I should have brought 20. And the thing I brought 20 of, people have zero interest in. But there's something about them, because I know that they can be successful if you get it right, that kind of like always kind of tempts me to like think about it and go back again. Like, so out here in Sebastian, there's craft shows and vendor shows and all that almost every weekend. I mean, they're all the time. One thing that does kind of shy me away from them is that most of them are outside, and I'm not an outside girl.
She's
really
not a Florida heat person.
No, not Florida heat. Yeah. And then there's the Florida rains that come in 2 seconds and
leave in 2 seconds.
Sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like it's just funny to me that I really don't love them. I like attending them and I like seeing what people have, but yet there's still something that always keeps like kind of almost pulling me back. And Stephanie, actually saw her say something similar today on like a thread on Facebook, and she was saying how she promised herself last year that she wouldn't do any more craft shows, and now she has found herself signing up for another craft show.
I was gonna say, did it work?
No. Right. So, yeah, tell us, I guess, about your experience and what you've learned and if you have any tips.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Attention all laser owners and crafters. Are you tired of spending hours cutting, painting, and assembling laser products? Look no further than Crazy Laser Dad Laser Ready Blanks.
Their high-quality blanks are expertly sourced, tested, and ready to use with your lasers. Say goodbye to the hassle and frustration of time-consuming projects, and hello to more time creating and selling.
Plus, with their wide selection of items, you'll surely find the perfect blank for all your customers.
So, what are you waiting for? Visit crazylaserdad.com today and take your laser crafting to the next level with their laser-ready blanks.
Speaking of all things laser, check out Houston Acrylic at houstonacrylic.com for reliable laser-tested and laser-approved materials.
Made for makers by makers, Houston Acrylic features over 450 styles of acrylic sheets. With over 50 new arrivals being released this month, Houston Acrylic is committed to bringing new and innovative styles to the laser community. My personal favorite is the matte, anything matte, and I feel it's perfect for everything.
Don't forget to save 10% by using our exclusive coupon code TRBP10 at checkout. Get inspired today and visit houstonacrylic.com.
Do it.
So I'm, I guess, a little bit type A where everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I learned fairly soon on after I started that
it's just not
possible. Wanting everything to be perfect and set up perfectly, it's not going to happen. Right. I'm still struggling with that, but
still not, you know, okay with it, but you know that it's a possibility. Yeah,
I have goals. Right. So, I don't know. We have a farm market in a small town next to us, and like I had always shopped there and thought, wow, I would love to be a vendor here sometime, and I just went for it. I had to go through a jury, bring in my samples of my work. And discuss the product in front of a board of people. That was scary because I really wanted, to be there. So it was like, and I was accepted, and that was like a dream come true. It was like the most peaceful show I did every other weekend last summer. Yeah. And I was accepted to go back again this year, and they are not accepting any craft vendors. New craft vendors this year.
Oh, wow.
So if I hadn't made that leap to just jump in. And
you couldn't get in this year.
I would not even have the opportunity.
Wow.
So anyway, I guess always be prepared. Always have your water. I forgot my water one time. And, most of the shows I do are outside. I've learned so many things. It's hard to narrow it down. But I guess the thing I really enjoy about doing them is, being able to talk to the public and find out, what kind of things they're looking for. Because a lot of times they'll ask you, and that gives you ideas.
True,
But you're not just sitting in the basement working on
your laser project. 100 ornaments that nobody wants.
And then it gives you that feedback. I think that's why it's addictive, because you get out in front of people and people that appreciate what you do. It's like, feels really, it's instant gratification.
Right.
It feels great.
I
also enjoy like meeting other laser owners, which doesn't happen very often around here. Or people that are interested in getting into lasers, and I give them my card, tell them to call me. Definitely not overthinking the setup of the booth.
So hard.
But one of my tips also is set up your booth ahead of time, practice setting it up, practice your displays.
Yes.
If you have a display piece, turn it a different way to see, there's all kinds of ways you can manipulate your display pieces to.
Well, and levels, right? Because you don't want everything either, laying flat on the table. I think one of the ones that I did, I had I made a keychain rack, or an ornament rack with pegboards that were this tall. And then, I think I had, yes, we made, and then there was some, like, they were like mini milk cartons. They're like, they were plastic from Walmart or something. I think I used those for levels and stuff. And then like some little stands to hold some cutting boards, but they're, you know, so that there was like, just there was dimension to it, because you don't want it just, you know, all one or two levels.
Right. When I first started doing shows, I didn't practice setting up, and I would be at the event and I would literally be in tears because something changed with what I thought my booth should look like.
Right.
You know, the orientation, whatever might have changed. And then it was like, I just like start crying, and my husband's like, stop. You're here, you have to do this. So if you're, if you like things to be, I don't know why I never did practice. I think I was just trying to build my inventory.
Yeah.
And so once I finally set up a practice booth, it was like, oh, wow, I love this. I can see room for improvement. You know, where do I need prices on signs?
Yep.
How can I, like you said, how can I add, you know, levels and change things up?
Yeah.
So, and then once you practice one way of setting it up, turn it all around, do it differently for, you know, just in case.
Right.
You're not a corner booth, you're a middle booth. You know, sometimes you never know what spot you're going to get. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you going to just have the table at the front, or is it going to be like a U shape where there's like a couple tables and they walk in, or there's a bunch of different scenarios and setups depending on that particular show too.
Right. Right. And I used, the Z formation, like the letter Z. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work pretty well. I remember one of the shows I was at inside, it was a smaller area. It was not a 10 by 10.
Oh, so like the tables in Z formation?
Right. Yeah. Oh, you have a 6 foot on the front.
Yeah.
A 4 foot goes back, and then another 6 foot at the back. So it kind of makes a Z, I guess.
Yeah.
And one of the organizers was like, yeah, I don't really like that setup.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Once I figure out how I want it to look, like I had a corner booth for most of the year last year. And then when I moved inside, it was like, you know, you just have to reconfigure everything. And,
but you're inside.
And we made it. Yeah. And it's frustrating because we've built our own. I bought grid wall that weighs like 1,000 pounds per panel.
Right.
Pinched my fingers a million times. And, you know, it's really hard hauling all that weight. So then my husband built a wooden frame with like chicken wire in the middle so I could hang up artwork.
Yeah.
And then we built more. It's like every time you think you have it, no, it's not good enough. I gotta redo it.
It's always changing and evolving. You're like, oh, I got it down. Right. And then you either want to add something, or you change the orientation, or you're like, could this be better? Or God forbid, you see somebody else's and you're like, oh, I like that. And then you have to like figure out how to incorporate that, or
And it's easy for me to get into my own head and not think anything's good enough. And if, like, one time I shopped at one of the shows instead of being a vendor. So I got to walk around and really look at what everybody else was offering and how they were doing things. And it's like, you know, I think I might be overdoing it. Like, I brought so much inventory.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, I'm making this harder on myself for the 3-hour show. Really, you don't need to do it all. But check with me that, you know, 6 months from now, I'll just ignore my advice. That's the thing. You think you're making that you're taking the time before the show starts, making that one last thing that's going to be great. Everyone's going to want to buy it.
Right.
And then no one does. And you're like, well, I could have gone to bed.
Right. You know? Usually you're just stressing yourself out more unnecessarily.
Right. And that's another thing is, you know, make sure you treat yourself well. Don't stay up all night and then go to a show all day.
Right.
I did that.
And that was
Do you have a like for products in that you're taking with you? Do you have like a set number that you bring of everything? Do you how do you deal with inventory that you do take to the show? Because it can be a lot, and you know you're traveling with your setups and stuff like that to display the products. You
right.
Know, how do you know how much do you take, like bestsellers? Do you take everything? What's your system like?
When I first started, it was pretty much whatever I could make, you know, ahead of that show. And then as the shows go on, I've been tracking, you know, my bestsellers, I guess. Whatever I sell, I replenish it when I get back home. And I guess the other thing is, you know, I have a truck and I have bins. So technically, I can only make what will fit in the bins and into the truck. Mm-hmm. At this point. And so, but I really watched, you know, like I have cutting boards I sell, try to represent at least one of each, sometimes two of each. But it's hard because, like, especially with seasonal things, mm-hmm. like if I wanted to make Easter earrings, I want to make all the earrings. They're so pretty, right. You know, and right. You have to really
hard to choose.
You know, allow yourself two designs, not six designs.
Yeah, you know? That's hard. So,
it is hard. But yeah, I mean, and then again, like if I'm setting up the table ahead of time, I can see, you know, where do I have empty spaces? Where could I fill in? Where's the opportunity? What's missing? Things like that. So, but I've really been, after every show, I'll run a report and it will show me everything that sold. Like we'd sell engraved slate coasters and I have a stand, so I know it holds 8 per design. So obviously I'll want to fill that display, you know, for the next show. And then I have back stock. I started bringing back stock probably around September, I would say, you know, once the holiday sales picked up. I always made sure to have extra. So I'm always fine tuning that because sometimes I bring too much.
Right.
Yeah. And do you only sell what you have or do you take orders as well?
I do take orders and we do a lot of custom engraved maps and we'll bring like behind me, I have a map of Pittsburgh. So, you know, we'll have that as an example. And then people will ask, you know, can you do anything different with that map? Or, you know, I have a cabin 2 hours away. What can you do with that? Yeah. So, like, I guess that would be, you know, we do custom things. But, yeah, pretty much, I guess, you know, people can see what you do. The one thing I'd like to work on is having I call it a lookbook.
Portfolio.
A little like a binder, because that was the thing I remember when I started using the laser. You know, my husband was doing the design work and the software. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can you do this? Can you do that? And my friends were like, can you make this? And it's like, yeah. Like someone said, asked me like, well, is it more money if it's in cursive handwriting instead of print? Yeah. You know, and so like, I have to remember, you know, like in the beginning, I didn't understand all the things that I could engrave or how to, you know what I mean? So if I have that example book, here's what I've done.
Yeah.
I think it will help people understand.
The portfolio helped me at the few shows that I did in South Florida because it allowed me to kind of like bring everything without bringing everything.
Right.
And people who first they'll come into your booth and then they'll see like what you have. And if they like your style, they'll hang and maybe they don't grab something or maybe they do grab something, but they also want to see what else you got. Mm-hmm. And then sure, they can go to your Instagram and look at it, but it's not the same thing. You know, Instagram and even Facebook, they're not the greatest for like photo galleries, and that's really what people I'm finding people want to see is a photo gallery, because right now, like, Instagram is more sourced, like, focused on, like, reels and the videos and that kind of stuff. Right. But it also makes that, I've noticed, even on my own page, it makes it hard for people to see what I've made, because they kind of have to feed, like, weed through all those reels. And so when you have a book of, like, you know, your favorite pieces that you've made, especially, like, the custom stuff, it gives people more of an idea, oh, I wouldn't have even thought that you could do this, or you can do that, or, like, you know, we were making a lot of custom signs at the time. So it definitely helped, like, basically find your customer.
Exactly. Like, they'll see an earring with a baseball on it, and then they're like, oh, well, can you put my son's number on the baseball? It's like,
Yeah. Do you do, like, sales outside of the craft show too, or is the craft show basically your focus?
Yeah, I started selling, I think it was, I don't know, last year was my second year. So anyway, I started selling in a art center located in a state park, which happens to be near our cabin, so I can write off my vacation travel. I mean, business travel. So anyway, it's a small, again, it's a small art center, and they bring in local crafters and vendors from, I guess, within a 2-hour radius. And like, we used to go camping at this state park, and the first thing I bought was a magnet to commemorate the trip. And it was a wooden magnet. And so when I became a vendor there, that was, like, the first thing I made was a magnet. So, you know, we do souvenir magnets and ornaments. And we do hiking trail tokens. My husband designed a compartmentalized tray display and then researched all the trails. And then we made a token for each trail. So people tend to collect those. It's fun. So I do that, and I'm trying to think, I'm going to, I just agreed last weekend to be, so anyway, the state park is on consignment. And so I'm doing, I just agreed to do a consignment booth in a craft store, I guess you could call it antiques and crafts or whatever. And they've been in business for 1 year. And they're located near where my oldest son lives. Anyway, so consignment, and I do shows and a little bit of wholesale.
Right, and then you're working on growing the wholesale. So with the craft shows, I guess one thing I remember too was that, so you can go and you can prepare, and then, you know, something will sell like crazy. And it, like, I remember one show I made, the IKEA cork trivets, and they were selling so much. And so then the next one, the next show comes up, and so I make tons of IKEA cork trivets, and I sold like two. Do you see, do you see the same type of thing? I mean, I'm curious, like, how that works too, like, doing a consistent location, not where it's like, you know, an Easter show and a Christmas show. And, like, obviously that inventory will kind of change a little bit, but do you see trends and stuff with, the farmer's market?
So the farmer's market that I go to, it has a draw from, well, it's kind of a tourist thing, I guess. People come in from an hour away, and people come in from Florida, actually, too. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're visiting from out of town, you go there and do the thing. So, I mean, I started out making bookmarks, and they weren't selling. Nothing was happening. And now it's like they're hotcakes. And I don't understand why. You know? And I do, like, zip code ornaments, and they've always been, like, a really good seller. So
consistent.
It's hard to know. Like,
yeah.
And it can, I don't know. I love making signs. I love hand painting also.
Yeah.
And I wish my hand painted things would sell as fast as some of the lower price, you know, just engraved items.
Yeah.
But they don't.
So how do you handle shows that maybe didn't go as planned, or you maybe didn't sell as much, or how do you deal with, I guess, the disappointment of, you know, a show that didn't meet your expectations?
So I guess I would say that you have to look at a show as a form of advertising your business. I've had I've had shows where I was really excited. I'm going to do great. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even I got my booth feedback, but it was, you know, my friend across the aisle, she's like, how did you do? I did really good. I'm like, no.
Right. So, oh, the worst.
You know, and it feels awful. Yeah. But then at the same time, it's like, I'm getting my name out there. I'm having good conversations. I'm meeting great people. And so it's a form of advertising.
Yep.
And there are people that saw me at a particular show that I have in mind. They saw me there. And then they called me, you know, closer to Christmas. I saw you at the show. Mm-hmm. I really want to come and shop. Can I shop at your house? I'm like, okay, well, I'll set up my booth in my garage.
Right.
And they came out to the house and they did well. They bought a good bit of stuff. So, you know, and so not only that, you might have a show where it's not your customer, it's slow.
Yeah.
It seems it's not worth it.
So, yeah.
I've been to, I was on a ski hill last fall, 3 weekends in a row. And I remember telling myself, my friend talked me into going to the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing? 3 weekends, one after another. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
2 days each, you know, the full weekend. And I'm like, you know, so it was a great venue, obviously. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, like, what do I want from this? And the one thing I wanted was to make at least one connection that would lead to a good sale.
Yeah.
And I did okay. The weather was horrible. The wind on top of the mountain. And I mean, so anyway, I had the opportunity to move inside for the last 2 weekends of the show, but there were people outside and it was so bad. They had mud up to their knees, the wind, the rain. I feel so bad. But anyway, so I had to remind myself, what do I want? I want to meet, you know, I want to make that one connection.
Yeah.
And a week later after the last show, a man reached out to me that owns a construction company and said, you know, I saw your stuff. Can you make Christmas swag for my company so I can hand them out to my vendors or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, sure, I'll do that. You know, and you get caught up and I'm like, wait, it happened. I made that. I did it. You know.
Yeah.
So you know, it was. That's what I enjoy. I think you know. I just really meeting the people and finding the people that like what you do because they're your people, right? And then the surprise of, oh, hey, I saw you. I thought about your stuff after I left, and because that's hard, you know, to get your name out there.
And for them to remember you too. I mean, when you go to those shows, you see how many different vendors.
Right.
And if they actually remember you out of all of those members, that's huge. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And
one of those, like you remember the table, you remember the vendor. You're like, oh, we had a really great conversation.
Yeah.
What's their name?
Yeah.
Like how do you know, it's like, well, hopefully there's a show coming up this weekend. Hopefully they're there and I'll grab their information then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, I've said it a few times on the show before, but of the few shows that I did, you know, I did that one, you know, where your sister was like super late. And so I got to the show very late and it was a super stressful experience. I covered my booth fees. So I was at like, you know, I broke even, but then I got Taco Bell on the way home because I hadn't eaten in like 6 hours or 8 hours or something like that. And then getting Taco Bell on the way home, I spent like $16 or I don't know. Who knows what it was, but then I was in the negative that amount because I had to grab dinner on the way home and I was tired and exhausted. But then that's also the show that I met the wonderful girls that owned Karma gift shop, and I ended up being a consignment vendor in there for I think about a year, 6 months to a year. And so it same thing, it ended up being ending in a connection. And so while yes, the day of was stressful and it was a little bit defeating and, you know, not selling much, it ended up being profitable in the end because of connections made while there or after you're there. Because I think someone actually ordered, might have contacted me afterwards and ordered a custom sign as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just always remind people, I always see people like posting in the groups and stuff and saying that, you know, they've done a few craft shows and they're not making any money or, you know, whatever. And that, you know, they don't know that if it's for them, they're ready to just like throw in the towel. And it's like, you kind of have to be prepared for those shows that go that way. And I love how you said going into it, knowing what you want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, is what you want to get out of it by selling out of an item or selling, you know, $200-$300 or $1,000 or whatever? Or do you just want to meet more customers that are going to come back to the farmer's market the next weekend and look for you or, you know, stuff like that? There's other like non-immediate monetary goals that you can focus on. And again, mm-hmm. you learn more about the events. You learn more about your setup. Yeah. Not every event is the same. Now, the farmer's market is one of those, you know, it's a little bit more consistent and a little bit more predictable. But you can go to a craft show that's put on by the same person, but just the Easter one didn't go so well mm-hmm. because maybe it was super hot that day. Even if it's inside, like kind of here, if it's blazing hot, people don't really like go out a lot, even if it means it's inside because they have to get there still, you know.
Or if it's raining.
Right, exactly. Whatever. Raining or, God forbid, a hurricane that weekend. And so then they're worried about, you know, being prepared for that instead of, you know, what's the latest craft show this weekend or, you know, that kind of stuff. So, having another goal in mind and just, even if your goal is just to get out there, have conversations, get that feedback that you mentioned, because that feedback is huge too. Because if people are looking at it and they're like, oh, how much? And they're like, you can kind of, there's the nonverbal communication and then there's the verbal communication of, oh, like, you know, that's out of my price range. Or do you have anything in this price range? You know, another thing I learned from those shows was having something in kind of each chunk of price range too was important. Mm-hmm. Like the keychains would sell like crazy, and those were made with just scrap material. The having funny sayings on them would get people kind of into the booth and into conversation because it would make them laugh and, you know, make it more comfortable. And then, having the price range, having the, like, I had the cutting board sets that, you know, it was a cutting board with the resin in the middle and, you know, the set of coasters, and that was 100 and I don't even know what I was, it was 100 plus, but then there was also like the cheap bamboo cutting boards that were like the tiny ones from Dollar Tree that were like $10. And those sold like crazy because it was like an easy, like, okay, there's not too much guilt in this one. Right. And it's funny, I can put it on my bar, put it, you know, give it to my friend who I know has a bar, you know. So having that wide range can help you find more of your people.
Right. And if they make a connection with you when they're shopping and they like you, but they can't afford something that's hundreds of dollars or $100, you know, it's like, oh, I respect you. I like your work. I'm going to support you. I'm going to buy like a something small, like a $5.
Right.
Yeah. And if you are at a slow show, I mean, you have the money invested, you have your booth set up right. and everything. It's a great time to just grab some content.
Yeah.
That you can repurpose true. For later. Right. I mean, you have it all displayed
yeah.
to see.
Yeah.
If no one's there, you can just, yeah. you know, get your phone. You're not going to prevent any sales because, right. you know, mm-hmm. it's a slow yeah. show or whatever. And then if there is, some, you know, you can set up a little, you know, like a little camera on the side to right. show people come, you know, like a timeline. But yeah. it's a great place to get yeah. content on your stuff for your own marketing. If it's a slow show, you're not,
right.
you're going to break even if yeah. you're lucky.
yeah.
So,
what are you
at least so like kind of like repurpose the event, like, you know, networking, like yeah. meeting people, talking to other vendors.
Talking to other vendors, the couple shows, you know, I would go around and like thankfully there was only like one other laser owner and she ended up becoming like a Facebook friend and everything. But we had completely different things, which was awesome because it kind of showed you that just because there's another laser owner doesn't mean you guys are competition. Cause our style was completely different. We had completely different, you know, items and stuff, but then going around and seeing what the other vendors have, like I bought a painting from one. Mm-hmm. I think I bought some like cake pops from another. And then I could also talk about my business and, you know, there's things that I could make for their business, like the right. QR code signs.
Exactly.
yeah. There was a door, hanger lady, I think at one of them. And, I asked her, where she got her cuts and she was just ordering them from someone. It wasn't from like, you know, it wasn't from a connection she had made with another laser owner. And so, you know, I mentioned, I was like, oh, well, if you need anything custom or you need another vendor or backup or anything, you know, reach out to me. So making those connections with the other vendors that are there can be greatly beneficial mm-hmm. to your business as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to present yourself professionally, I think. Even mm-hmm. though you might make friends with other vendors, you're still representing your business.
Yep.
Right.
So don't complain, especially on social media, about the yeah. organization,
right.
you know,
yeah.
like that. And one thing that I think is fun too is if you get a chance to shop with the other vendors, mm-hmm. I like to do the Instagram reel where you collect mm-hmm. all the things and then put them on the counter and take a picture.
Yeah.
And yeah. shout out to all the other vendors, you know.
Right.
like yeah, I mean, you. That reel from Kaylee was the right. reason we went viral mm-hmm. because she was she wasn't a craft vendor. I think she did make some items herself, but she was more so like kind of a reseller, but was a small business herself. And she just shared it on, you know, her mm-hmm. her TikTok and it yeah, went crazy.
It's important to like talk to other vendors too to find out what shows worked for them, where are they going, you know?
Right.
That's how I found out about a lot of things in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got talked into doing a lot of shows.
right.
yeah. It's important. And then one question I like to ask my customers, you know, like where else do you go? What other shows do you enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If they're liking what I'm doing and they like the show that I like to be at, then
right, exactly.
And there might be more like-minded customers that are your customers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So aside from shows, where is there somewhere where people can find you?
I am on Facebook and it's at Black River Arts LLC and Instagram. And that is at Black River Arts. And I have a website, blackriverarts.com.
The one question I keep forgetting to ask
mm-hmm.
people is I keep forgetting how to say it. I need to like write it down. But what would the current you say to new you when you were first starting?
Don't buy so many blanks.
yep.
Stop.
It's so hard. Yeah.
I have a lot of things actually. So don't buy everything. Buy smaller quantities and test it out first before you just buy it all.
Yep.
Don't try to do it all. You know, that'll come with time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know how to design files, and my husband's like, well, you should have original work. I'm like, okay. So I'm trying to design files. I'm trying to build my inventory. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I need to support other designers and buy the files that are done. So,
yeah, you
know, like, don't try to do everything. Also, speaking of that, get an accountant early on.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Have somebody help yes. you with the numbers and the taxes right away. So. Don't yeah. delay.
I agree. I agree. And then, I mean, when you're in the beginning too, depending on the accountant's like pricing, I mean, it was a lot cheaper for me in the beginning because I was a small business that didn't require a lot of work from them. So it was pretty affordable. Right. And, you know, I didn't in the beginning because technically I could do it myself, but I wasn't and I didn't want to.
Right.
And so I always tell people, like, the two things that I wish I would have done sooner was get an accountant and buy a shipping label printer if you do
oh, right.
shipping.
Yeah.
I highly underestimated like how much easier that would be. It wasn't hard. It was not right. hard when I needed to print labels to right. open up the tray to put however many labels I needed into and then right. print my labels.
But now you don't have
but
to do that.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't hard, but like saving that however many seconds or minutes yeah. or, you know, and God forbid it would jam. But yeah, right. those are my
and
two
And ours
things
doesn't take
that,
up a lot of space either.
No, no, yeah. it doesn't so. Take up. Yeah. But like my Rolo, I love it. Yeah. It's just, it's so much yeah, easier and just streamlining stuff. But I mean, it was hard because both of those things, when in the beginning, I remember, you know, $600 in my account and that's all I had. And so right. I had to be very picky and choosy, you know, about what I wanted, you know, especially with the Rolo. They're like, I mean, when I bought it, it was like $175. Mm. If I only have $600, I don't have,
right.
you know, there's other ways you yeah. can do it. You can go to Marketplace or get one of the knockoffs to at least to start. And, you know, there's right. people who get the knockoffs and like, or just other brands, not necessarily knockoffs mm-hmm. that, right. that really like them. But, and then same with the accountant. It's just when you can think of those things mm-hmm. because they really do just make it right. that much more seamless and
right.
stress-free.
Exactly. Yeah. Spend the money on things that'll help you be efficient yeah. and let you focus on your craft.
Right.
Well, Alice, thanks for
yes.
spending some time with us and coming in clutch.
Thanks again. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Spoiler alert, we were going to have Amanda on tonight, and it was just, yeah. it was going to be too much for all of us. And I was like, you know, yeah. instead of stressing and trying to like force it, because she was, you know, she was down. She was like, I'll do it. I like, right. I'll make it happen. Right. And I'm like, no. Like, let's not, because, you know, they're moving this week, and that's,
right.
that's a huge move. Like,
right.
that's heavy stuff. So, I'm all like, right. let me see. I was like, hold on. I have, you know, someone I had talked to who had previously, you know, said that they would be on. I was like, yeah. let me just ask. If they say yes, great. If they say no, then, you know, then
we'll
you can be on
it.
And we'll make it happen. So we appreciate you yes. for coming on and giving us all your craft show advice.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you.
I can't wait to see you in June and meet you
yeah.
in person.
I'm excited. It's my first laser conference. I had
oh my god.
Envy.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
now I'm like, I'm just gonna make it happen. I was gonna go alone and I'm like, no, I'm bringing my husband. We're
yeah.
gonna do this together.
It's yeah. honestly
and
it's so worth
there,
it.
There's a group of laser husbands.
There is.
Right.
There is.
Yeah.
We come strong. So
yep.
He'll be amongst friends.
Yep.
We
yep.
all know the struggle.
We're both very excited.
Again, thanks for being on. Can't wait to meet you in person in June. And you guys stick around for the Life Update coming up next. Life Update. Life Update time.
What was that announcement?
Don't know. Just trying something new. Trying to spice up the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Trying stuff new. We all got right. a new light. Trying new things.
I like. What do you guys think about the light?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm really
had
tired
a long day.
Too. It's been a long day. So tell us about our day.
It was long.
It was.
What it was.
It was.
Worth
it.
No, yeah, for sure. If you're following us, mm-hmm. on the Instagrams, or our Amanda. Person, or Cerulean Tide and Amanda. Mm-hmm. You know that we were with her today shooting content. You also, if you're following Cerulean Tide.
I just realized I didn't tag her and, in the story that I posted.
I did. I tagged her in mine. Shit.
Sorry, Amanda.
But also, if you're following her, then you know it's no secret that she's moving.
Yeah. Yay, finally. Locations. She's been waiting for, literally been waiting for this location for like a year. Yeah. So, and she outgrew the other one in a year and outgrew the original one she was supposed to. I'm thankful for her.
I think it'll be some time before she outgrows this one, but I mean, you know, if you buy enough acrylic, maybe she'll outgrow it a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But it's a great space. It's a great new space.
Made us very.
Yeah,
little jelly.
Super motivated. Not even just motivated. Motivated to hopefully, you know, one day be in her first warehouse.
Right?
Like that one.
Even half of that. Yeah.
So
the Fort Lauderdale one.
Yeah, the one that she's leaving.
Yeah.
So we were with her recording some content. For a more long form piece that'll be finished, you know, well after, you know, she's got to be established so we get some more shots. So this is it's a longer timeline, longer project.
Yeah.
But I'm psyched about how it'll turn out and everything like that. Too. So stay tuned for that.
I can't wait to see it. You showed me just like one little clip and I was like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that. I guess this life update is going to be about me, really.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Good. I'm here for this.
Tomorrow, going over to Heather's to do some.
So am I. Yeah. I tag along. So listen, Riley Black Media is John and Crystal interjecting and making annoying him and reminding him, did you send that price list to this person?
Right. Well,
did
that part, tell that part's person? Not, that part's not annoying. That part's not.
Well, so not all of it is annoying, but Riley Black Media is mostly your baby, but I do like the 25% of, did you follow up with this person?
You're my
making
corporate.
Sure that, did you put emotion in that message? Yeah. Because he's very like blunt and like to the point. Yeah. And to us overthinkers, we're like, okay, cool. He's not interested or, you know, whatever. Right. So I just try to, I'm the producer. As you call it. And I try to get the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And when I'm like nosy and I wanna see what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's fun for me to go along. And I mean, I love seeing you work. I like, you know, meeting other people and doing all that. So
well, you're not meeting other people tomorrow. We're going to your friend's house.
Yes, we're going to my friend's house.
And shooting some Lens Digital content.
Yeah. But I'm excited. It'll be fun.
And then hopefully tomorrow I get to put this together.
Yeah. Oh, how long are we going to be? I don't know. I feel like we'll be there late.
No, we won't. They only pay for a half day shoot.
That's true. Yeah. All right. You're my friend, but bye. I'm leaving now.
Yeah. I'll stay. Right, you got to fork out another.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, but yeah. So shoot then. And then the rest of the week is just editing.
Yeah.
All the content and
downloading it and putting it all together.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, tired and busy, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, and this you got a my homie Terry. She wants a real made. Yeah. So, I mean, that, which is good. You know, it's always how it goes. It's like nothing, nothing. We and start to freak out, and then everything at once. So, I'm here for it. Keep it up. I'd rather be tired.
Yeah, we had nothing on Monday, so we used the day to redesign cards, flyers for me,
pack orders.
Yep. So it's been Riley Black Media all week.
Focused,
So don't forget to sign up for our Patreon if you haven't already.
Yes. And enter the contest.
That's right.
It's Instagram based, not sponsored. But it's on Instagram because we're trying to grow that page. Mm-hmm. So make sure to follow us there at the Riley Black Project. Like the post and then tag a friend. So that's one entry. You can tag all your friends for as many entries as you want.
At everyone.
Yes. or you can join Patreon and you get 5 entries automatically, and you don't have to tag anyone if that's not your thing.
And outside of the whole contest and stuff, I mean, we run contests every now and again, and Patreon gives you a lot of good discounts, and even general admission gets some discounts.
Yeah.
So any chance you get to plug the show, please do.
Yes.
In the groups, or if anyone is like, you know, struggling with that, oh, you know,
check this out.
Check out the podcast episode such and such talked about that. So feel free to plug us anywhere and everywhere.
Yes, please and thank you. Smash that like button.
Yeah, if you're don't you know what, you don't have to get 5 people to smash that like button.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But no, just trying to, you know, grow the community, grow the podcast, grow the show.
Yeah. Now on to the next 50K.
That's right. On to the next 50K.
Took us 3 years to get this 50K. Right. I'm interested to see.
Year and a half.
Yeah. What the next will go.
Year and a half to get to 100K. Damn, 100K.
That's crazy.
That's
too
crazy.
Yeah.
We'll buy the 50K cake.
By then.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we'll buy the cake by then for 50K. And then there'll be another.
Maybe we should go get one on the way to Heather's and make her eat some too.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll get a cake, take a picture. You'll see.
Maybe.
Well, been another great episode of the Riley Black Project. Crystal and John.
Bye.
Maybe we're all done.